This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
This meeting, you shall not miss that touch in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Lord, as you go into the ministration of your word, let heavens upon this meeting that is already open be permanently open. Let heaven upon every destiny be open tonight. Lord, I pray that you will speak to us in a manner that we can all understand. And Lord, the Bible says, 25:11 of the book of Proverbs, a word that is freely spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. I pray that you will cause your word to be freely spoken tonight in Jesus' name. The Bible says, John 3:34, he who is sent of God speaks the word of God. Because you have sent me here, I pray you will cause me to speak your word in Jesus' name. John 8:47, the Bible also says, he who is of God hears the word of God. Because your children belong to you, cause them to hear your word tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, as nothing is going to be lost in the utterance, let nothing be lost in the transmission, let nothing be lost in the reception. As the hearers are going to be blessed, let the speaker also be blessed tonight. By the time we are leaving your presence tonight, let there be fullness of joy. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Please be seated wonderfully in your Father's house. Tonight, by the grace of God, I'm going to be speaking while I appreciate all those who have gone before me. I appreciate the ministration of our beloved pastor, Bishop Godwin. I appreciate the ministry of my beloved friend, Pastor Tunde Baduro, who ministered powerfully with revelation yesterday. And I believe in God, much more than what he has done in the previous 2 days, heaven will accomplish in our midst tonight. Heaven will accomplish in your life tonight, in the name of Jesus. So tonight, I'm going to be speaking on a message that I have titled, Within Our Theme, which is In the Day of His Power. I'm going to be speaking on a message that I've titled, Operating in the Power of God. Operating in the Power of God. Operating in the Power of God. I want to welcome us to the premier edition, the maiden edition of the word first. For whatever reason, God commissioned his servant to institute this program. There shall be a great accomplishment and fulfillment in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says, Amos 3:7, God as it were will not do anything on this side of eternity except with revelation to his servant the prophet. So God has spoken certain words unto his servant. And that's the reason he has commissioned this program. And God does not speak because he's garrulous. If there is nothing to pass across, God is not a noisemaker. God only speaks when there is mercy. Ezekiel 12:25, say, I'm the Lord I speak. And whatever word I speak is because I want to perform on it. So God doesn't speak. And if God has already spoken, I want to believe God. You will be the subject of the subject and the beneficiary of that word in Jesus' name. Now we are going to take our reading from our passage for this meeting. I'm going to read 3 translations of that passage. Number one, let me read from the popular one, King James or New King James. Those two, they are the same. And I'm going to be reading Psalm 110:1-3. Psalm 110:1-3. Well, let's just take it up to verse 4. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Now, verse 3 says, your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. Verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. For better comprehension and understanding, I'm also going to read from contemporary English version. The same passage. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right side until I make your enemies into a footstool for you. The Lord will let your power reach out from Zion, and you will rule over your enemies. 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 Your glorious power will be seen on the day you begin to rule. You will wear the sacred robes and shine like the morning sun in all of your strength. The Lord has made a promise that will never be broken. You will be a priest forever, just like Melchizedek. New International Version of the same passage. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion. Say, rule in the midst of your enemies. You are going to rule in the midst of your enemies. Your troops will be willing on your day of battle, arrayed in holy splendor. Your young men will come to you like the dew from the morning's womb. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. He will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Now listen. In the passage that you have read, it is a conversation between God the Father and God the Son. The two principal heads of Trinity, they came together and they had a discussion. So if you look in that passage, you will see the Lord, the first Lord, is written in capital L. That means God, the big God Jehovah. And then now said to my Lord, the second Lord, in all the translation of the Bible, is written in a small letter L. God the Father in Jehovah was speaking here to God the Son in Jesus Christ in a prophetic manner. As at this time, Jesus wasn't born. But I'm going to be telling us certain things about the word of God, which is very mysterious. As at this time, Jesus wasn't born. That is why, even before Jesus was born, you see, the Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, what was the thing that God used to create the heavens and the earth? Genesis 1:3. And God said, let there be his word. Let there be light. And there was light. Now, listen carefully. When God said, let there be light, thunder is a kind of light. Thunder did not come out. Fire is a kind of light. Fire didn't come out. Exactly what God said was what was produced. That is the immutability of the word of the living God. Listen carefully, Psalm 33, verse number 6. He said, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. God make everything that we see here, through principality, things visible and invisible, by his spoken word. By his spoken word. By his spoken word. That's why if you fast forward now to the book of John. The Bible says in John 1:1 to the New Testament, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was with God from the beginning. Through him all things were made, and nothing was made that was made without the word. He now said, in him was life, and the life and was light, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, verse 5, and darkness comprehended it not. Fast forward to John 1 and verse number 11. He said, he came to his soul, that is the word. The word came to his own, but his own, they received him not. Verse 12 now says, but as many as have received him, he gave what? Power. Can somebody shout power? As many as received him, he gave power to become. Once you receive God, once you receive Jesus, you receive power to become. What do you want to become? Ask your neighbor, what do you want to become? I see a lot of people, what they want to become, they are far away from it. They want to become a wife. But, a suitor is far from them as this one far from the west. They want to become a husband. I mean, they want to become a husband. But there is no sister that is looking their direction. They want to become a professional. But they have tried their hand in every form and all kind of exam. But it is failure result they are getting back. Ask your neighbor, what do you want to become? As many as received him, he gave power to become. even as many as believe in his name. You know, listen carefully. You see, there are something about the spiritual. Clearly, there are two words always in competition. If you read the book of Hebrews, Hebrews verse number 1, it says God, verse 1, it says God in time past, who has in diverse way and in different times spoken to us by our fathers, as in the last day spoken to us through his Son, that is Jesus Christ, who has made the earth of all things, and through him he has made the words. If you look at the words here in Hebrews 1:1-2, the words there is in plural. Fast forward to Hebrews 11. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things over the evidence of things unseen. Verse 2 says, by faith, those who have gone before us, they that received a good report. Verse 3 says, by faith, we come to understand that the words, once again, plural. Every translation of the Bible is in plural. We come to understand that the words were put together, they were framed by the word of God, so that the things that we see were not made by the things that were physical. Listen, you see these words there? He's talking about the word that you see physically and the spiritual word that we don't see. And if it's true that the spiritual controls the physical, until you are connected to the source of power in the realm of the supernatural, that man is not going anywhere in life. He's not going anywhere. Oh, that man will suffer like a dog that has been offered to the God of Ohio. That man will be moving around in circle like this, like a barber's chair, over the years, and yet he's never making any progress. My Joloju can be a gababa. And it's yet, there is effort, there is hardship, there is, people can see that he's making effort, but there is no commensurate result. Why? Because the person has not been connected to the source of the real power. Tell your neighbor, I need power. And God has promised to give it to us. You say, I love a prophet, Prophet Micah. He said, Micah 3:8. He said, I am full of power. Not just power. He said, but the spirit of the Lord to declare to Jacob his salvation and to Israel his sin. I am full of, tell your neighbor, I'm full of power. Well, there are some things until a man is full of power. Ah, this word will mess you up big time. Before God brought some of us into the light, which we are looking at in John 1:5, into that light. Pastor spoke about it tonight. Until a man has come into the light, everything you are doing it in darkness. It's like you are shooting in the dark. You just be gambling from one thing to the other. Moving, falling and rising, falling and rising, falling and rising. Until the light has come unto a man is not supposed to move anywhere. So I said, the passage we read is a conversation between the two principal heads of the Trinity. God the Father was giving a prophetic declaration and instruction to God the Son in the realm of the supernatural, because it wasn't yet the time of Jesus. But prophecy was already being spoken forth. What was the prophecy? It was a declaration of what was going to happen at a certain time in human history. And this is the time. This time that we are living in is that time that God is talking about. That the days of my power, these are the days of God. Tell your neighbor, these are the days of God's power. These are the days of his power he's talking about. Now, it was not only here that we saw this word being sent prophetically into the generations to come, which is our generation. If you look in the book of Isaiah, the Messianic prophet, he also said the same thing in Isaiah 2, verse number 2. He says, it shall come to pass at the end of the age. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord shall be exalted above the mountains. And you know, and not blah, 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 blah. Again, Joel also came. Joel gave the same prophecy again. In Joel chapter 2, verse number 28. When Jesus came also, he gave the same word before he left. If you look at Luke 21, you know, I could have easily quoted some of the passages, but the Bible says we should give attention to reading. So let us just read a few. Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. This is what first. I'm praying that somebody will receive a revelation like a thunderbolt. that will supernaturally catapult you to where you have to be in life in the name of Jesus. Why? Because a word from God is all that you need. If you look in the Bible, a word from God is a good foundation on which to build the structure of your life. You see, people will move from one church to the other, especially in Africa. They will leave mountain of fire. They will go to mountain of miracle. They will leave mountain of miracle. They will go to mountain of deliverance. They will leave mountain of deliverance. I always tell people, most Christians don't need more deliverances. What they need is more discipline. Discipline to do the word of God. Only a word. I've seen situations in my life before that perplexed me. But once God spoke his word, I jumped up and shouted in my room. The Lord, I know this situation is already resolved. Every situation that has come with you to this meeting, listen carefully. I come, and there's something that God said I should do tonight, which is to anoint for power. Listen carefully. God spoke to me, and said any of my children and all of my children here tonight, whatever situation you have come here with, I'm going to say this as God told me. And to the person that you believe it, probably not more than 10 people, after I've spoken the word, and they will say the loudest amen, it shall happen as God has said it. Amen. He said, tell my children, any word that has come into this meeting this year, the inaugural edition, with one situation or the other, one problem or the other, one predicament or the other, one trouble or the other, one challenge or the other, one or two things is going to happen between them and that situation. It's either you are going to leave this situation without that problem, or that problem will leave this assembly without you. Either way, one is going to leave without the other. May you leave without that problem. May that problem leave without you. I say, may you leave without that challenge. May that challenge leave without you. Ebu kaye laude amen. I've been in a meeting before I finished the five-day meeting. Testimony was coming in, a mega church. Why? Because God has spoken. So, several prophecies are gone. Two several prophets across generation about this passage we are reading tonight. So, it's not only in Samuel 110. Several other prophets, God used them to speak what was going to happen in the end time. The time that we are in. Luke, I told us Luke chapter 21. Oh Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Luke 21. If you begin to read from verse number 7, the sign of the times and the end of the age. Pastor was speaking yesterday about what you are seeing around us today. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. Some of them, they are so unnatural, so unreal, that you almost think it's a fairy tale. Except that they are real. Except that they are real. You know? Man marry man. You know, they will look unreal to you. What is in a sieve and romancing sieve? Looks unreal. Or Jennifer romancing Jennifer. I mean, it looks stupid. It looks sorry. Unbelievable. Except that it is real. Except that it is real. It's a sign of the end time. Jesus said, take it. Verse number 8. Take it so that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name. He began to tell us what is going to happen in this time, 2,000 years ago. Can I tell you this? Why did Jesus started by saying, take it that you be not deceived? Very simple. It doesn't matter how tough and difficult the situation may be. If the devil cannot deceive you, he cannot defeat you. Did you hear that? If the enemy cannot deceive you, he cannot defeat you. He has not changed his modus operandi right from the Garden of Eden. He comes by way of deception. And once you know what you believe, I always say this, I may not know what the devil wants to do, but I know what my God can do. And there is a saying in Africa, when you are sure of the potency of your medicine, you use it to knock your head. When you are sure of the potency of your medicine, I don't use it to knock my head, I use it to lock my heart. The devil, you are a stupid person. You can't do nothing. Because I know whom I believed. Just like Apostle Paul said. But you know whom you have believed, though, before you did this to the devil. Oh, you did? Oh, you forget quickly the seven sons of Sceva. The evil spirit jump on them, beat them blue black. That Paul I know. Jesus I know. Say, who are you that you are boasting the name of God? Evil spirit was replying them. Who are you? I had a classmate when I was at Bible college here in America. I don't call myself a deliverance minister. I don't go with that appellation. But I know God has done great things through me by grace and strength alone in delivering people. I mean, you move near me in some meeting. If I'm doing deliverance, you just know that this evil spirit, there is a spirit here that is repelling this guy. A manifestation of all kind of things. Manifestation of all kind of things. This classmate of mine, there was a lady who had trouble. I mean, it was like that person that Apostle Paul described in the book of 2 Corinthians 2, verse 24. We are trouble on every side. The lady was trouble on every side. Trouble within, trouble without. And so he said, this my classmate said, oh, he said, Reverend, wanted to go and do deliverance for her at home in the night. The evil spirit jumped from that lady and beat this my classmate. Beat him so much, wounded him physically. If you look at the lady and you look at the stature of the man, you will know that. I mean, this is not possible. If they say this is the one that wounded this man. The guy came to graduation on wheelchair. He came to graduation on wheelchair. Wheelchair. I tell people, I say, you are a pretty poster. Deliverance. And come and see me. As also, I say, you better be careful. You better be sure of the power you have. You better be sure of the potency of your mercy. Tell your neighbor there is power. Now, listen carefully. Apostle Paul, so Jesus said, there's going to be earthquake. Verse number 10, Luke 21, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, tribulation all over the place, famine and pestilences, fearful things and fearful sights, and great signs from heaven. After he said, many, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. By your patience, you shall possess your soul. Verse 26 now says, now when all these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your eyes or heads because your redemption is very near. So these are again part of the days we are living in Samuel and 10. It's the same days. The same day was spoken about by Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. He said, I know you note this also, that in the latter times, perilous times shall come. Let's see what Apostle Paul said was going to happen. This is a program that is called Word First. So let's look at the Word of God. Tell your neighbor we need to look at the Word of God. 2 Timothy, because that's the way revelation and deliverance come. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. He said, fatherly brethren, this is a faithful saying. 2 Timothy, rather. I don't know why I keep going to Timothy. Now, but know this also, that in the last days, perilous time will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of God, of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying his power. Don't we see all of this today? People coming to church day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. But just for religious purpose, the spirit of religion, rather than personal relationship with Jesus. That is why you can have a man that calls himself a man of God, joining a man to a man, and she say that is a man of God. It's all religious spirit all over the place. Oh, the other day I went to Nigeria. I went for Daddy Gio 70th birthday at the redemption camp. I mean, you can almost, with the crowd and the shout of hallelujah and the prayer, amen, you can almost feel God in that assembly. Now, this is what happened. Early in the morning, I had a meeting in Abuja, early in the morning of Saturday. I left from the redemption camp to Lagos Airport. As we are going, in the vehicle that was taking me, no sooner we left the redemption camp, I just saw multitude bursting off the road and trooping to a particular location. You see, the place was dark. So I told the person, I said, it's been quite some time I left this place. So I left Nigeria. I said, is there an express way that they've done connecting this place to Lagos directly? He said, why did you ask that, sir? I said, can't you see people that are trooping to? He said, no. That is power must change. I said, which power must change? He said, that is mountain. I said, what mountain? He said, mountain of fire and miracle. I said, to go and do what? He said, another program is going on there. I said, what? I said, with all the prayers overnight in this place. So somebody believed that there is no God there. His problem has all been solved. And immediately, he's leaving there for, I say, forget it. They've lost it completely. This is religious spirit, pure and simple. This religious spirit, let's call a spade, not an instrument of famine. I said, this is religious spirit by excellence. And somebody told me, he said, Pastor, you haven't seen anything. If they leave that place, there are six or more that camp on that way. They leave that place and they go there again. Children of God, they have a problem. Hands have been laid on them. Legs have been laid on them. There is nothing they haven't done for them. And yet, you see, you discover that the problem is still there. Then you need to check your relationship with God. Please, you know, in the end time, God will have to save everybody. Yeah. That's the thing. So Jesus said, don't be fearful. Those who know their God, they shall be strong. Daniel 11, 32. It doesn't matter what is going on around us today. The righteous will be as bold as the lion. Yes. Let me say this. So Jesus also, Apostle Paul also said all of this. He said, I'm from such people, in the end time, turn away from them. Don't go anywhere with them. Now, can I say this? Yes, these are the days of his powers. These are the days of God's power. And we can see the manifestation and demonstration of his power amongst us, all around us today. From the days of Abraham to Joshua to Elijah to Elisha to Daniel to Apostle Peter to Apostle Paul. Now, we can see the demonstration of the power of the living God through these people. I have a good news for us. We are also God's people. And the power that these people demonstrated, even in their days, these are also the days of God's power. We can demonstrate greater power. I say we can demonstrate greater power. Why? Because the Bible tells me, Ephesians 6:9, Romans 2:11, God does not show partiality. In the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verse number 34, Apostle Peter said, I perceive that God is not a person of person. Romans 10, 12, he said, there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. There is no distinction between the white man and the black man. There is no distinction between the Hispanic and the Caucasian. The same God is over all and is written to all who call upon his name. Our God is not a respecter of person. What he has done for A is willing to do for B. He can demonstrate greater power that he demonstrates in the people of old even to us. And we see it today. I don't have the time tonight, and I've given you concrete evidence that you can prove, that you can go and check out, of the demonstration of the power of the living God, the dead rising up. The truth is, you see, Peter said, Acts of the Apostles chapter 3, he said, when he met that lame guy, he said, the guy looked up to me, he wanted arms. But Peter looked at him. He looked at Peter. Peter told him, silver nor gold, have I not. But what such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up. The Bible says immediately. always underline that word immediately. The man rose up. He carried his bed. The Bible says he carried his bed. Listen, the power that was demonstrated in those days, the power is still available today. I've seen meetings where people came lame and they took, it's not this one, it's not a makeup that I bring them. Let them pretend that they are lame. This one, they are really lame. They do like this. They do like this. But after the power of God hit them, they rose up from their wheelchair, folded the wheelchair and went to. Tell your neighbor, these are the days of God's power. The question is, do you have the power? These are the days of God's power. These are the days of God's power. We must position ourselves in the days of God's power for victory. How? By looking at this. We know what power is. Power is the ability to do something. And we all have power. Jesus told them, he said, go and tarry. Luke 24:49. He told the disciples, his followers, he said, you go and tarry. Immediately he came down before his final ascension to heaven. Go and tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power. Until you are endued with power. Now listen carefully. Where many Christians, where we miss it today? Where is it? Listen carefully. In Luke chapter 24, verse number 49, 500 disciples. You remember, he sent 500 out two by two. So we know that he had 500 following him. He sent 500 out. He gave them instruction. You go and tarry, go and wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power. Now, between when he gave them instruction and the day of Pentecost, out of the Apostles chapter 1, verse chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost, it is 40 days. Between the first ascension of Jesus and Pentecost was 50 days. When he came back from heaven, for 10 days he was going all over the place appearing to people. For 10 days. Now, after his second ascension and the day of Pentecost, it was 40 days. But do you know, between that time, he gave instruction to 500 people. You know how many people were present at the upper room on the day of Pentecost? 120. Abba, where were the others? Eh? Where were they? They were like Brother Manoah. You know Brother Manoah? I say, message for another day. I pray that no woman will have a Mr. Manoah in his life in Jesus' name. Amen. The father of Samson. The wife was barren. An angel came for the first time. Mr. Manoah was nowhere to be found. Came and gave some dangerous instruction regarding the child to be born. Instruction that a man, a father should hear with his own eyes, with his own ears. But Mr. Manoah was nowhere to be found. Just like most men today, as Pastor was preaching yesterday, we are all over the America looking for what is not lost. What is he looking for? Mr. Manoah was nowhere to be found. When he came back from wherever he went, the wife called him. He said, what? Somebody came today, an angel came today. He gave all instructions. Not only am I going to conceive, I'm going to bring forth a child, he's going to be a Nazarite. This was the thing that he said, Mr. Manoah said, Caster, how did I have to go out? You know, we pray that prayer. May you not be absent on your day of visitation. Yeah. You know, Mr. Manoah, I pray to God. I say, Lord, hope that you will permit this angel to come back home. And what did God do? God was so merciful. God, you know, God sent the angel back. That's if he were to be a disciplined man, after he has prayed, what should he have done? He will just say with Mrs. Manoah, Amy, Lord, come on. We are going to sit down here until this angel comes back. I am not going anywhere. We are going to be here until the angel comes. The angel came up. When the angel came the second time, where is Mr. Manoah? Nowhere to be found. Kasa. Rabu Sotali Mazegedi. I've come to speak in the direction of some people here tonight. There are some things that everyone has concluded to do in your life, just like the family of Mr. Manoah. There are some things that the devil has been using in order to delay the coming to pass of that thing that everyone has concluded to do. But my prayer tonight, by the reason of your being here, listen to this message, which is inspired from heaven. Every way in which the devil has been sending you on errand that you should not go, in order to deprive you of what heaven have already spoken, he wants to release into your life. May every such operation of the devil, may it be paralyzed tonight in the name of Jesus. I say, may every such operation of the devil be paralyzed in your family. May it be paralyzed in your marriage. May it be paralyzed in your ministry. May it be paralyzed in your career. May it be paralyzed in the life of your children. Heaven can hear louder. Now listen carefully. When the power, you see, God has already, he has given his power already. It is for us, the Bible says, as many as receive him, he gave them what? Power. He has already given the power. It's for us to receive it and to use it. You must be able to exercise the power. You know, somebody came to me. My sister pastor came to me one Monday morning. We got to the office and he knocked on my office door. He said, Pastor, I want to see you. I said, come in. So he came. He said, Pastor, I was marvel. Where do you get the boldness? You ask people to stand up in the congregation, they stand up and you'll be speaking into their lives. So I smiled. I said, because I'm not speaking my word. I'm just a messenger. As I hear, so I speak. I pray for you. Bro came to me. Pastor, I feel a headache. It's like my head is just spinning. My head is just something is oscillating my head like fan. Oh, really? I need prayer, right? I need prayer, sir. Lay my hand on him. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the great physician, receive your healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Bro, how are you feeling? I don't even know. I let him know that's your problem. Whether you know how you feel or you don't know how you feel, that's your problem. But what my Bible told me is that I shall lay my hands on you and you shall recover. I am not the one to recover you. You are the one to recover. You see, as children of God, listen carefully. As children of God, we see a situation that God has given us authority over. And we are afraid to utilize that authority. Listen, in John chapter 2, when there was that problem at that wedding, they cried to, there was anxiety. They went to the mother of Jesus. What did the mother of Jesus tell them? Listen, that was just the beginning of the public ministry of Jesus. How did the mother know that whatever he's going to tell them was going to bring the solution? I have a feeling at home, Jesus has been performing little miracle. You know, there was a time that they said, a man cannot be doing all this in privately and he desires to be known publicly. That means that among his sisters and brothers, probably somehow somebody has had their stomachache. I say stomachache. Jesus has been using them to test his anointing. You have stomachache? In Jesus' name, be healed. And the sister got it. The mother said, this one is different too. That's the only reason the mother could say.
My God.
Because what the Bible says, listen carefully. If everything that Jesus did were to be written in the Bible, the whole library of the world cannot contain them. So Jesus has given us the power. He said it. I've given you authority. I've given you power. How many times will Jesus repeat that? How many times? But we see a situation, then we are afraid. But if I pray and it didn't happen, it's because you are thinking you are God. You are not God. You are not the fourth person of the Trinity. What God asks us to do, let us just do as children of God. If he says you should pray, pray. Don't be thinking, but if I pray and it didn't happen. He said, let that man, let that no woman ever think he's going to be able to receive anything from God. A double-minded man, unstable in all his way. James chapter 1, verse number 5 to 7. Immediately you doubt, the miracle is gone. I've said it before. That's the reason I said it's spontaneous. It's spontaneous. You have an issue, I just speak. You know, I've been rounding up tonight. I said, operating the power of God. I'm going to be rounding up on how you can operate in the power of God and the areas of life on which you can operate on the power of God. Let's fast forward tonight because of our time. Number one, when you receive the power of God, what's the power of God supposed to do? Number one is to change every situation that is contrary to the word of God in your life. That's number one thing. The power of God is released unto you, amen, in order to be able to change situation that is contrary to the word of God in our lives. The Bible says, Lamentation 3, verse number 35. It says to deny the justice that is due to a man before the face of the Most High God, or to subvert a man in his cause. God does not approve of it. A lot of us, we have been subverted in our ways. Things that ordinarily heaven has assigned, has labeled for you, the enemy has cheated you out of it. Situation that ought not to be oppressing you, they have been oppressing us. And yet, we have the power. As many as receive him, he gave them what? Power! Think about it yourself. How many years ago have you been born again? But the book of Galatians chapter 4 verse number 1 says, even though this guy be the heir, he owns everything. But as long as he's ignorant, he's no better than a slave. Even though he owns all things. Paraphrasing that. You see, the situation has surprised us. Not because God has not given us power to dominate that situation, but because we have not utilized the power. So, like I said, number one, power to turn around negative situations. Negative reports, Lamentation 3, 35 to 37. I'm going to share a testimony with us quickly. To subvert a man in his court, God does not approve of it. Lamentation 3, 37 says, who is he that speaks? And it cometh to pass when God has not commanded it. In other words, it doesn't matter what any other professional consultant may say. God has the final say. God has the final say. Jehovah has the final say. Years ago, lovely brethren, serving the Lord, bless. Between husband and the wife, they were making income of about $300,000 a year. Top high level IT gurus. The man was so blessed. He said, Pastor, any job that is less than $200 an hour, I don't do it. Thank you, man. Hey. That was the way I shouted that day. I said, hey, it's not $200 a day, not $200 a week, $200. But they got married. And, you know, nothing happened. They were believing God for their first child. Nothing happened. The lady was has a Muslim background. The father still go to Mecca every year. Likewise, the mother. In fact, the mother put wrap everything around her face like this. Whatever. So their situation continued that way. And this lady, she's a fine Christian. Fine Christian. Then one day, the man called me. He said, Pastor, I have a challenge. I said, what's the challenge? He said, my father-in-law just came back from Mecca. They live somewhere, I won't mention the state, but up north in America here. He said, and when he came back, he called us. He called me. And he said, while I was in Mecca, I received a message that I should take you to one imam in America here, who is going to do something for you to have a child. So the guy came, he said, sir, I'm the head of my home. If I don't go, it will be like I don't have the interest of my wife at heart. If I go, I know I'm going to be going against. I was born into CAC. It's difficult for me to reconcile the two. Ah! I got provoked in my spirit. I got provoked. So I said, bro, thank you for calling me. Can you just hold on? Don't do anything yet. I went into prayer myself. And God spoke to me. Gave me specific instruction. Go to their house, go with your wife. Go to so-so place, go to so-so place. Go and do so-so. So I told my wife, I said, let's go. So I got appointment with them. And then we got to their house. I said, I've not come here to eat. Eating of some other days. This one, God has fed me specific instruction with my wife. Let me carry it out and leave. I don't want to be like that prophet. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 13, instruction was very specific. As he was waiting under the tree, what happened to him? A lion mauled him. I said, the instruction God gave to me is come and do this. So I went into their bedroom. Take me to your bedroom. Went to a beautiful house with swimming pool, everything. Pray over there. Say, thank you, Jesus. So they said, Pastor, before you go, let's just take you around the house. I said, that's okay. So they started taking us around their house. Then we got to a particular room. I saw racks of shoes. I can't count how many shoes. It's uncountable. I said, are you guys trading shoes? They said, no, these are our shoes. I said, shoes? I said, you are blessed enough. You have a whole room. Shoes. Just thank you, man. Just for shoes. I said, what is this room for? Did you build this room just purposely for shoe? In the original design of your house? Oh, the wife said, no, Pastor. That's supposed to be our child's room. I said, it's children's shoes. The two of them look at me. My wife also look at me. I said, why don't you decorate the room for what you have meant it for? He said, yes, sir. And I left. When the lady left work the following Monday, she went to a place called Galleria in Dallas. That is where the High and the Mighty shop is spent all on this guy's account. He took it home. Hired people because the guy, during the week, the guy had already gone to some city to go and do his job. By the time he came back, the wife has already done a good job spending the money. But it's a good way to spend money. No, I will love it if my wife spend my money that way. Praise God. Decorated the room, put everything there. Now, he came back on Friday, on Thursday evening, and from the living room, he did the shoe like this. That's the way, you know, the door is already open. So he was going to fling the room. He just opened the fling the shoe. He just opened the door. He just saw everything. Well, you know, well arranged for a blue collar for a boy. So he shouted. He said, hey, call the name. Come down. He said, what's going on here? Who did all of this? He said, it's me. He said, why? He said, because Pastor said so. That same month. The lady conceived. God has the final say. Jehovah has. Because God told me, he said it's going to be a great disservice to the power of redemption if somebody will go to Mecca to go and bow down before a lesser God to now receive a message for a child of God to have a child. It's going to be a great disservice to the power of redemption. He said, what did Jesus Christ die for? That was the message God gave me. He said, what did I die for? What did I die for? That was how they had their firstborn, a son. 2 years after, they have a baby girl. Once again, I pray, any situation that has subverted your course in life, any situation that has undermined that which God has spoken concerning you, I come against every such situation by the power of the Lord tonight. and we paralyze them in the name of Jesus. We rebuild that situation in the name of Jesus. We destroy that situation in the name of Jesus. Evil can hear loud them. Number two, operating in the power of God. Power to reverse captivity. The power is released upon us in order to be able to reverse what? Captivity. Listen carefully. Power to reverse captivity. Out of 5 points, probably I'm going to give us three tonight. Because there is something that God has me to do here tonight. The word of God is always specific for an occasion. That's why we pray the prayer that we pray when we started. Oh, and I've seen the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. I've seen it in my little time that God has called me to ministry. As God has granted me the grace to minister all over the world. The second point is so power to reverse what? Captivity. Listen carefully. Whenever any child of God faces captivity in life, God is not happy. God is not happy. And we do all face captivity. And we are all going to face challenges in life. Please, let me lay that foundation for us. We are going to have to face certain situations in life. The situation and captivity of life is no respect of person. It is what we are all dealing with at a point in time that may be different. The honest truth is that we will all be dealing with one thing or the other at different times in life. Because the word of God is very clear about that. The Bible says in Job 14, verse number 1, to every man that is born of a woman, every man that is born of a woman, is this a few and full of trouble. Job chapter 5, if you begin to read from verse number 6, he said, affliction does not spring from the dust, neither does trouble come from the ground. But man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. In other words, you light a fire, it catches something that's combustible, the fire will naturally go. He says, so is affliction natural unto man. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 9. What has been and what is going to be, will be. There is nothing new under the heavens. So if you narrate your problem to somebody and they say, you alone. We haven't seen this kind of problem before. Just tell the person you're a liar. There is nothing new under. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. He said, there is no affliction that has come upon you, such as is uncommon unto every other person. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 9. He said, knowing this, that the same self-affliction is being accomplished by your brotherhood in the world. Verse number 8, beg your pardon. Yeah, that's okay. The B part. It's been accomplished by your brotherhood in the world. So what are you going through? Everybody is going through something. I've come to some situation before that. I say, am I even born again? There is a saying in Africa. It is a man who has all faced the toughest battle of life that called himself a man. And Chidi Obalungwere Lokunrin. That you almost be putting something in your pants. The same self-affliction is being accomplished in your brother and the world. This was said in the book of John chapter 16, verse number 33. He said, this word have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. He said, in this world, you are going to have challenges. You have tribulation. You have problems. He said, but be of good cheer, because I've already overcome. If Jesus can overcome, you shall overcome.
Amen.
There is a saying, doesn't matter how tough a challenge may be. I always say to every problem of life, It is a child that sees the end of the clock. It doesn't matter how long a clerk stays in an office. When a clerk is retiring or they retire him, it doesn't go with the chair on the table. You leave it there. I'm going to see the end of you. I tell the problem, I'm going to see the end of you. After you have come and gone, I will still be standing, sharing my testimony. Let that be your attitude. There is no challenge that anyone is going through that nobody has ever been through before. Yeah. It depends on the way we look at our problem. Now, but God is not happy when we go through problem. No, for his child, God is not happy. The easiest thing for God to do is to help his children out of problem. The Bible says, the book of Psalm. Psalm 130, is it 133? It said, by the rivers of Babylon. It was a season in their life, a whole nation. It said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat. He said, yea, we were. Well, we remember Zion. He said, we hung our harps in the willow in the midst of it. Verse number 2. Harp was supposed to be the instrument of rejoicing and celebration. Psalm 137. You guys are only there. Their harp was supposed to be the instrument of their celebration. He said, but we hung our harp in the willow in the midst of it. Why? Couldn't they have the instrument to celebrate, but they couldn't. Why? He said, because those who held us captive, they required of us in song. And those who plundered us, they required of us a man. They now said to themselves, but how can we begin to sing the Lord's song in this kind of situation? Has that been your story? Yeah. But listen carefully. The same God, the same people. Psalm 126, verse number 1. They say, and when the Lord God again turned around the captivity of Zion, the same Zion, you know the same Zion people. He said, we were like them that dreams. Our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they sang among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. Indeed, the Lord has done great things for us, and therefore we are glad. He said, turn around our captivity, O God, as a stream in the south. Now, those who sow in tears, they shall reap in joy. Those who go forth continually weeping, bearing precious seed for sowing, they shall doubtless come back again with rejoicing, bringing their sheep with them. I've come to prophesy in the direction of about 12 people here tonight. You have been sowing in tears. You have been crying regarding that situation. You have been bearing precious seed going all over the place. But my prayer tonight, for every situation that has made you to cry, it is a season for you to rejoice in the name of Jesus. I said there shall be a turnaround of your captivity. I said there shall be a turnaround of your captivity. I said there shall be a turnaround of your captivity. Can somebody shout, there shall be a turnaround? Just sit down. It's just one more point. I have a testimony to share with us. And you see, whatever you have seen God do in the life of others is an indication of what he can do, even much more in your own life. Amen. I have my pastor here, Pastor Ladipo. And the wife, some of us may not know him. A few of us may know them. How long were you married, sir? 15. Believing God for their first child. They brought the baby to me yesterday. I look at a beautiful baby. This one is natural battle. It's not. Listen carefully. Two young people. Oh my God. I tell people, wherever we go today, the message we preach is not what somebody told us. It is a God that you have seen in action in our lives and the life of others. This young couple, in their 20s, very brilliant, very smart. They finished, the husband finished doctoral program in pharmacy, did some other crazy certification. And then started working, high-level research guy, being paid top dollar, six-figure salary. The wife also finished, her girlfriend, finished also doctoral program in pharmacy, working as a pharmacist. But then, so they joined our church, very young, in their 20s. And then I processed them through marriage. And the husband was serving in the youth church. He's now the head of, in fact, he's the minister in charge of our youth ministry now. He has gone to become that, a deacon now. And the wife was serving in the children's church. And so after they got married, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, I haven't begun to see the glory of God upon the life of my sister, shooting forward and backward and sideways. So one day I called, I said, bro, come, 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 come. I mean, you should not be, you know, your engine is in trouble with the capacity for 240 horsepower. I said, why are you doing slow running? I mean, I don't like this kind of thing. I don't. Let this sister see your hand in your life. Let it see your hand now in our life. Oh, I said, you are too young for family planning. Oh, he said, no, sir. We are not doing family planning. And by what he said, what he did not say, I could see it. And this went by. Months went by. The younger brother got married. Or this brother got married and started having children. Yet, you can imagine. So I'm serving the Lord. Very faithful. Very, very faithful. You know, one day, we were in the open church like this. I was preaching and the Holy Spirit stopped me. And once the Holy Spirit stopped me like that, on the Sunday service, they know something is about to happen. So I stopped. I said, the Holy Spirit is just speaking now that there are two mojis in this church. Today is the day of divine appointment. I want to beg you, if you have stayed up to this time, don't leave. Wherever the word of the Lord is, there is power. I've seen things in life, in the lives of people. So God spoke, there are two mojis in this church. Today is their day. I just announced. I just said, God said, there are two mojis in this church. Today is their day. I didn't say more than that. Now, I've completely forgotten that this sister answers Moji because we call her Clara, her Christian name. I didn't even know that she answers Moji. But there is a woman, there is an old woman in the church. It's an assistant pastor. Her name is Mama, but Pastor Moji. It's a grandma. Mama is about 60, 65 then. And what God is speaking to me has to do with child bearing. Mama came out. And then people in the adult church who heard the message, they quickly ran to the children and said, hey, Moji, pastor is calling you. And I didn't call anybody. But my prayer is this. May God put good people around you. In life, you need them. You need them. People even behind you will be able to speak to God on your behalf. So they ran and they called her. Then the two of them were before me. And the whole church was waiting and watching. But I just look over and say, Lord, whosoever speaks. No, it's not a question. I know what God has spoken to me. I'm not afraid to say whatever God has said. He's the one. My people have a say, it is him that speaks big grammar in his in-law house that has to interpret it. In-law don't understand big grammar. What they understand is money. I say, Lord, you are the one that has spoken this word, though. You are the one that has to interpret what you have said, though. These are two people. This is a grandma. My grandma is 65. My grandma, I'm sure, has already closed shop regarding that business several years ago. I say, well, this is what God is saying in this season. Every cycle of delay and disappointment regarding childbearing is broken completely. The backbone is broken. In Jesus' name. The prayer was no more than that. Congratulations. God bless you. And they left. Now, Mama's daughter had faced secondary infertility. Mama's daughter-in-law that she was staying with. So the same season, God bless the daughter-in-law with a new pregnancy. I about Sister Moji. Exactly about 6 months after that encounter, I think we finished the second service or the first service. I just saw this brother. He's a very mild, he's a man of mild countenance. Even when he speaks, he doesn't speak too loud. But that day, he was just pushing the protocol as I was going to the office and protocol were following me. He was just pushing them. I need to see, Pastor, I need to see. And the wife was following at the back. She hardly stepped into my office when he busted into tears. He was crying so profusely. Sister, you're messed up. He wouldn't just listen. And when the head of the house is crying, what do you think the wife will be doing? Wailing. Wailing is a senior brother of crying. Wailing. I had to send for my wife. Please, I need help here. So my wife came. There was nothing I didn't say for this brother to stop. It wouldn't just stop. Until the Holy Spirit told me, shut up. Nobody can console his fellow human being who is an adult, who is shedding tears like this, from stopping until the root of the tears has been dealt with. So I kept quiet. After the brother has cried his eyes out. You know how you whoop little children? And after they cry, they are doing like this. Mm-hmm. And after, he bent line like this. He has a folder on the ground and he pulled a paper and he shoved it before me. I read the report on that paper. I dropped my head. I said, God, what was there was this. They've gone to several doctors, but the topmost gynecologist in our area, whom people respect, his opinion, when it comes to childbearing and all the fertility thing, he wrote this report. That given the last test that we did for you and the laboratory result that came out, it is naturally, physically, humanly, and physiologically impossible for the two of you to have children together. I see that the two of you love children. Consider adoption. QED. The brother said, sir, is this the way I'm going to start my life? And he started crying again. And as pastors, what can we do in such moments? What did you think I said? Let us. You are good church people. It's for pastors. It's just for pastors to go and start parishes for us now. You know everything about how pastors behave. I say, let us pray. And I heard the Holy Spirit spoke to me again. Shut up. What prayers do you want to pray now that you haven't prayed before? He said, now listen. This is the word I want you to tell them. 6 months ago, I called her out here openly. He said, and I heard God spoke to me, Isaiah 45:19. He said, I'm not a God that speaks in speech secret. Neither do I speak in dark and the closer places. I have not said unto the seed of Jacob, you serve me in vain. He said, now let her know. Let him know my integrity is at stake. Which report do they want to believe? I said, that's the word of the Lord for you. I'm not permitted to pray. I said, God be with you. So they left. The same sister, exactly 3 months after. Exactly 3 months after, she became pregnant. When she was going to give birth, natural birth and everything, to that baby, my wife was beside her at the hospital bed. At the hospital. And after the baby came out, very smart girl, extremely smart. When she came out, 9 by 4 years old, he was biting himself, pinching himself. And my wife said, Yomi, why are you doing that? He said, I want to believe that this is real. What have people said before? What have they said concerning your situation? What have some consultants said? Romans 3:34. Let every other person be a liar. Let God be true. To the glory of God today, their second child, a son, celebrated his second birthday about 2 months ago. Yet, there was a report that going by their own physical report, it's physically, humanly, naturally, biologically, and physiologically impossible. The same people. Wow. Sila. What report have they given you before? What report have they given you? I come in the name of the Lord. Every report that is contrary to divine mandate over your life and your destiny, we tear it to pieces in the name of Jesus. In the realm of the supernatural, may that report catch fire in the name of Jesus. God has the final say. Jehovah has the final say.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Holy Spirit is asking me to stop here tonight. You say, can I say this? I've seen the operation of the power in the word of God. I faced challenges in life before. That it was because I received the word, thus said the Lord. That was what kept me going. And God proved himself. My son, who has come with me on this trip, is a testimony of the efficacy of the word of God. I was a boy, I'm going to share this personal testimony, and then I will do what God asked me to do here tonight. Getting married, myself and my wife, we are planning to have two children. And for me, I desire to have a girl for my first child. Some people will say, but most men, they want a boy. I say, that's most men now. I'm not most men.
Come on now.
I want a girl. What I want is what I want. What you want is what you want. I don't fight you for your choice. Don't fight me for my choice. God bless us. That's why I always write in all my books, or when I want to introduce my children, they are covenant children. So God bless me with my heart desire with a girl for my first child. To the glory of God, brilliant girl, smart, doing extremely well. Pastor and the pastor's wife know. Then my wife became pregnant of the second one 3 years after. And she asked me, boy or girl? I said, you know, it doesn't bother me. And when the second one came, a girl. And we thought we had closed shop for that business. So we did everything that we thought we needed to do. It's true. Gone. We done. Eight years after. You know, if heaven has decided, you know there are some blessings that are meant for you. It can never go to another. It doesn't matter. Even when you don't pray for it. If heaven know that, that's the way I put it. If God knows, you still need something that is going to make your joy to be full. As a child of God, when you are walking in obedience with God, God will give it to you. You don't have a say in the matter. God will just say, I want to do it. You don't have a say. Because we thought we have put all the necessary safeguard in place.
Yes, yes, yes.
But God bypass all the safeguard we put in place. I mean, God is a master dribbler. God went through every safeguard we put in place. And my wife became pregnant.
Wow.
The pregnancy was tough and rough. Almost took her life. When she was going to give birth, after about 2 hours of operation, the boy had already come out. But early that morning, God had spoken to me as I was driving to work. I just felt strange. And God told me, be ready, Isaiah 57. I've already left home. I've done the study of Bible I need to do for the day. But immediately I got to work. I read Isaiah 57 from verse number 1 to the end. God said, go back to again. It is Isaiah 57 or 59. I went back again. I read the whole thing. Go back again. I feel uncomfortable. So I called about 2 or 3 pastors. I said, please, I don't know what is going on. I don't know what the devil wants to do, but I know what my God can do. Please, guys, be praying. I don't know yet, but please just be praying. It wasn't quite 10 minutes when I called those pastors. My phone rang. And then they said, your wife is in the hospital now. It's in a situation. So immediately, I check out of work, I ran to the hospital. And I got there, they have already put her in the theater. I signed the necessary paperwork. And then they started. They brought the baby out. They brought our son out quite fine. But then, I just saw that matter just took another turn. I just saw the hospital staff, all of them started running at a skelter. What's going on? Before I knew it, another doctor came. The third doctor came. They started bringing in blood. Now got to the point. They told the hospital chaplain to come and take me, to come and cancel me. And he came. He put his hand on my shoulder. I said, thank you, Mr. Chaplain. The word is not for me. I said, I don't have an agreement with God that my wife is going to die on hospital bed. I said, it's not. This blessing is of the Lord. Proverbs 10:22 is the blessing of the Almighty God that makes rich. It doesn't add any sorrow to it. I said, I didn't ask for this from the Lord. It was God that decided to give him to me. I said, so God cannot give me a blessing and take another away. I said, it's not God. It's not my God. I said, the message is, thank you, Mr. Chaplin, but thank you.
Thank you.
So the glory of God, my wife came out of it. The doctor himself said, this is my 17th year of delivering baby. I've never seen this kind before. I got home. On my own, I said, God, God, you scare me. I
said,
I said, but Lord, why did you have to take me through this? Because I didn't ask for this thing. You decided to give it to me. You can have it depending on your relationship with God. I've had discussion with God at some dangerous level before. And God gave me understanding of what was going on around me. I said, Lord, you scare me. Ah. I said, if we that we call ourselves the head of the church, if we are put in this kind of situation, how are we going to cancel? And God told me that's the reason I made it to happen that way. He said, the ministry I'm giving to you, you only know where you are today. You don't know where I'm taking you. You are going to be confronted with you and your wife. You'll be confronted with situation that will be as difficult as it could be. Listen, I faced one of the God now used just yesterday. They sent something to me, not a text, a picture and all of that. There's a girl in our church, a lady in our church, years ago, shortly before she got married. They diagnosed her that she only has one fallopian tube, one ovary or whatever. And that because of certain sickness, whatever, if she didn't need to have a child, in fact, she was advised not to have. That may be dangerous. But you know, this was 6 years ago. What am I saying? This was 4 years ago. Yesterday, they sent me a message on Facebook with the baby.
Hallelujah.
She just had her third son. Thank you, ma. In four years, third son. God told me, he said, the kind of situation you are going to face in the ministry, which will draw people to your ministry, until you have been through it, you cannot.
My God.
You can't feel the way they feel. Your wife cannot feel the way they feel. The kind of ministry I'm going to give to you. He said, you only know where you are today. Do you know where I'm taking you? A person that must be tall, he must be ready to have thin legs. You cannot have both at the same time. What am I saying in essence to that? I've seen God in action in my life and in my ministry. And some of those situations I document in my books. All my books, you pick them up. They are bestsellers. People buy my books. More in Europe on Amazon. More in Europe and all those countries that are even in America and Canada. Why? Because I go about and I sell my books at a discount when I go to preach. God told me you are going to be faced with situation. And I've been faced with situation in the ministry. I was telling Pastor that we have a prayer at our church. I call it PPS, Pastoral Prayer Squad. We come in at 9 o'clock. You don't come in with your wristwatch. And we pray every month until God releases us. And as at 4 a.m., people are still ready to continue to pray. When I first declared that prayer, some people in the church said, this pastor has come again with his radical something. How can somebody come to a prayer meeting at 10 and will not leave for 4 a.m.? How is it possible? What will you be saying in the place of prayer? The first time when we met, there were 7 people. And God told me that's a good number. It's a number of perfection. This is the 7th month of the year. Something is going to happen in your destiny this month.
Yeah.
Out of the 7 that came, some of them said they only came for curiosity. That they want to come and see, no doubt, if it is true. But listen, when the spirit of grace and supplication rests upon the house, it is contagious. Even those who came for curiosity, they were not ready to go at 4 a.m. To the glory of God today. Why? What led to that prayer meeting? I spoke to the Lord. I said, Lord, why is it in this ministry? Two people will be believing God for their child with the same anointing. I pray for this one. I don't believe on all this human impossibility. A doctor said this. Doctor said that. That is doctor. Doctor is not God. So I will pray for this, receive the miracle, and start having children. But this one, the same person, I mean, this under the same atmosphere, under the same glory cloud, the same anointing, from the same prayer of the same man of God. Why are those ones delayed? My God said, my son, listen carefully. Some of the people that you are crying over, the only prayer they pray in their life is when they come to church on Sunday. He said, now listen, man of God. God was speaking to me. Now listen, man of God. When you get to church on Sunday, how many hours do you pray in church on Sunday? I say, our service is 1.5 hours. Each of the service is 1.5 hours. And we have to do praise and worship. We have to do announcement. We have to do offering. We have to do this, preach. I say, so probably 10 minutes on a good day. And God spoke to me clearly. He said, son, you cannot pray 10 cent prayer and expect $1 million answer. He said, go and study the prayer life of Jesus. And I now sat down. For a month, I began to study the prayer life of Jesus. I went in the night and he prayed all through the night. I mark it. In the morning, I wake up very early. Because you see, why do you have to wake up very early? It's a message for another day. Why did God tell Moses in Exodus chapter 8 that rise up early in the morning and go and confront Pharaoh? Because the best time to confront the Pharaoh in your life is early in the morning. So God says, if you want result, go and study the prayer life of Jesus. And listen, I did. That was all led to the pastoral prayer squad. We come. Last Friday, this past Friday, not yesterday, the third Friday of the month, we were there again. So much so today, we are counting 60-something people come for the all-night prayer. Pastors from other churches come, not to redeem. That we heard about what is going on in this place. And they come and, they see it with their eyes. This is what God did. Do you know? In our church then, my sister pastor has been married for 7 years, no child. A deacon and deaconess that we started the church together, they've been married for 17 years, no child. Another sister married for about 12 years, no child. Among the ministers, to God be the glory, no liar will make heaven. As a reason of that prayer, all the ministers who are believing God for their pregnancy in our church, all of them became pregnant the same season. You see, I have said, my son, when he was pretty small, he came to me in my prayer closet one day. He lied down beside me. He asked me, he was about 2-3 years old. He said, Dad, why do you always pray? I look at him. Say, what do I tell this guy, that a small boy, that I won't lose him? Or my daughter, our first daughter, preparing for her board exam last week. And then I say, you have to be thanking pastor's wife. Because you can't live in the house with me almost every night. My wife got to the point, he said it in the church. He said, I always ask this man, do you have any problem with this bed? My daughter said, about 4 days ago, he said, Mom, like the other day when I was going to work and I wasn't feeling too, when you were asking me a question, it's because daddy just woke up at some crazy time in the night. And the prayer was such that, and the room is next to my prayer room. Our room is next to my prayer closet. He said, I couldn't just sleep again. He said, because the prayer was just something else. I wasn't aware of where I was again whenever I move into the prayer closet. What am I saying in essence? This is a day of God's power. God has received, he has released the power. But if we are going to operate in the power of the living God, it depends on us. Just like Pastor was saying yesterday. I told God, I'm tired of Christianity the way it has always been. When I know this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, I said, Lord, I need an empowerment from you. And God said, what you need in order to do well in ministry, I've already given it to you. You just go and look inward. I heard the two things God told me. God, the way God speaks to me, God has a way he speaks to everybody. When I said, Lord, why is the ministry not going the way I expect? You know, every pastor, where you start? You just think that in 2 years, we should be 500. People coming, people coming, people coming. It didn't happen that way. I said, I went to God. I said, I mean, 90. We are not going beyond 90 again. I said, is it ministry of 90 people you want to? If you know ministry of 90 people, that's okay. But God said, no. I've given you a shoulder to carry more than 90 people. To the glory of God, we are running close to 1,000 there about today. But I asked God, I said, we are just on the same spot, marking time. And God says, it's not my problem. It's you. I say, how? He said, okay, listen, my son. All things being equal, do whatever you need to do. What have I called you? I said, I'm a shepherd. He said, oh, okay. What does a shepherd do? I said, a shepherd leads the sheep to where? I said, green pasture. He said, good, you have answered well. What does sheep, what do they need most? I said, green grass. He said, good. He said, you will go and plant the green grass and see if the sheep will come or not. I then pick my Bible. As if it's to read this Bible. I will read it that the Bible will know. I say this is what the sheep need. I say I will read it that the Bible, if he has mouth and he can talk, he will say, oh boy, it is too much. You read me too. It's okay. You didn't see my Bible? I don't know how many times I read the Bible through from Genesis to Revelation every year. Not counting the book of Psalm all over, the book of Proverbs all over. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, all true. I said, this is what they need. And when I go to preach, they say, wisdom, where is it coming from? The Word. The Word. The Word. I say, I get somewhere. I call a prayer point. If you don't see me reference that prayer point, either in my book or when I'm in a conference like this, don't even open your mouth to pray it. Prayer without the Word is just noise making. And noise produces nothing.
My God.
Well, you get to some places and you see people pray no kind of manner and stupid prayers. People pray with sense of idiocy, without intelligent recognition of biblical injunction. Enemy fall and die, enemy fall and die, enemy fall and die, enemy fall and die. If all the enemies die, does that solve your problem? The answer is no. See the first passage that you read tonight. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies. If all your enemies die, who will be your footstool?
My God, come on, Pastor.
Who will be your footstool? Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 47. He said, if your enemy is hungry, what do? You feed him. Pray for those who despisefully use you. So where did we see enemy fall down die? Can you pray some dangerous prayer for your enemy? The answer is yes. But before you get to the point, to the realm where you are going to pray that somebody should die, it's another level of prayer entirely. Not a prayer that you just pray casually. No. In fact, that the GO on one of the Holy Ghost services, he said people should pray that God should take care of their enemies for them. And when the people wanted to, when they started praying, they began to name their father-in-law, their mother-in-law. The man of God has to say, hey, stop, please. Hallelujah. Stop. I didn't say you should mention so person to die. God knows the way he's going to take care of your enemy. Tonight, I want to believe that there are several God. We need the power. And I want to believe, to the glory of God, that God, by his grace, at least has released also some grace into my life. And there are one thing that God said I should do tonight. The power that you are talking about, God says, I shall anoint all the people who are going to be at this meeting tonight. Anoint them in their hand. God permitting, I'm going to speak about the hand tomorrow. The power of God is demonstrated through two things. Number one, if you read the Bible, the power of God is demonstrated through his word and through his hand. I'm going to leave. So what God says is that as you anoint the people in their hand tonight, as many as need the power, and they are ready to separate themselves from anything that can lead to a contamination. Very simple. And destruction is very clear. So that's what God says I should do. The Bible says Psalm 45, 6 and 7. The same thing was amplified in the book of Hebrews 1, 8 and 9. It said, "Thy scepter, O God, is forever and forever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy throne. Because thou lovest righteousness and you hate iniquity. Even God thy God has anointed thee above thy fellows." That is power. Acts of the Apostles 10, verse number 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? With Holy Ghost and with. That's it. And when he received the power, he now went about doing and healing all those who are oppressed of the devil because God was. That's it. So God spoke to me, "Can you anoint all my children who desire power tonight?" I said, "Lord, your will be done." So I will rise up tonight. There are some of us as ministers of God here. What everyone has programmed us to do here on earth is beyond where we are, even in our local churches. God says, my grace and my anointing upon your life, it should make you to be a serious and dangerous battle axe of God. But situation is not so. God said, by the reason of the anointing tonight, things will change for good for you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So tonight, this is what I want you to do. I want us to pray. Please, it's not everybody. Please listen to the instruction that God has given. As many as are ready to separate themselves from any form of contamination. There's no point receiving the anointing of the Lord and it leads to problem. If you know you are not ready to separate yourself, you don't have to come. But if you know you are ready to separate yourself, I can tell you, by the reason of this meeting, that you will know. You see, power to do whatever you need to do, power to get whatever you need to get, it will be released upon you tonight. Amen. Those are ministers of God. There are some of us, God is saying, financially, where you are is a far cry from where you ought to be. But God said, I should tell you. You see, they told me it, verse number 18. The Bible says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he who gives you what?
Power to get well.
That he may establish his covenant. God also now put a condition to that. He said, as many of my children want to receive power to be able to get wealth, in order to establish my covenant, not your desire. He said, I'm also going to release power unto them. The last category of people. He said, there are some of my children who are sick. He said, again, what they need is physical sickness, emotional. God says, by the power, by the anointing tonight, I'm going to heal them. Why? Because he said in his word, Psalm 107, verse number 20, what did he do? He sent forth his word. And he does what? His word is the power to heal. That's it. That's it. So tonight, while all is about, you want to say, Lord, this is where I am before. I want to commit my life to you. If there's anything I'm doing that I ought not to be doing, before I come to receive the anointing tonight, Lord, I want to surrender to you. Raise up your hand. Before we do the anointing, please, just those who want to submit their life to Christ, you want to surrender your life to Christ, or you want to rededicate your life, those are the ones that I want to raise up their hand. You want to surrender your life to Christ? Because I'm going to anoint us tonight. I think I've given the three something that God said I should do. Can you come? Where are they? Please raise it above your. Don't bother to come. Just raise the hand. If you know you want to give your life or you want to rededicate your life, raise your hand above your head. Just a little above your head. Okay, thank you, my brother. Thank you, my sister. Thank you all over the place. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Please, can you repeat after me? Those who raise up their hand, please repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for tonight. Thank you for the word of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for convicting me tonight. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess of my sins tonight. I repent of them. Have mercy on me. Accept me as I have come. Wash me. Purify me. Give me a new life in Christ, a new beginning in God. I commit to live my life for you from now. From tonight, I receive power to live a holy life and to follow you all the days of my life. Say, Father, I thank you for saving my soul. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We are going to take this song. And I am going to anoint us.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.